Welcome, dear ones, to our main church service on this 8th day of August 2020. So happy to have you join with us today in fellowship, and also glad to have those listening on the phone or listening to the recording in fellowship with us as well. Praise God for his merciful kindness and tender love to each and every one of us. They are new every morning. Great is his faithfulness. So praise his name. Our opening song for today's service is titled, I Will Early Seek the Savior. I will early seek the Savior. I will learn of him each day. I will follow in his footsteps. I will walk the narrow way. For he loves me. Yes, he loves me. Jesus loves me, this I know. Jesus loves me, died to save me. This is why I love him so.
I will hasten where he bids me. I am not too young to go in the pathway where he leadeth, not too young his will to know. For he loves me, yes, he loves me. Jesus loves me, this I know. Jesus loves me, died to save me. This is why I love him so.
He is standing at the doorway. I'll escape from every sin. I will knock, for he has promised he will hear and let me in. For he loves me, yes, he loves me. Jesus loves me, this I know. Jesus loves me, died to save me. This is why I love him so.
Amen. Let us indeed early seek the Savior. And if we haven't yet done so and we're older in age, let us seek the Savior now. Tomorrow is not promised to any one of us, only today. May we make the most of it by seeking the Savior and gain eternal riches in him. Please join with me in prayer. Blessed Father, we thank you so very much for not leaving us in darkness, but sending Jesus to become the light of our life, to set us free from sin and error and darkness, and to bring us in the path that leads to light, peace, and salvation. Father, we pray that thy presence will continue with us, in the presence of our Savior and the Holy Spirit, and help us to understand the truths. Help error to be exposed in our thinking and understanding, and grant us the grace and the strength to change, to discard the errors the wrong beliefs and understanding that we might have the truth that sets us free. Thank you so much for doing so and allowing us to have this time to come apart and to study into the present truth. Thank you for allowing us to have connection with so many avenues of searching out the truth and gaining evidence to back it up. And thank you that we're a day closer to getting off of this wicked world, away from sin and disease and sorrow and sadness and brought into the peace, contentment, and joy of serving you now and soon to be serving you for eternity. And what a day that will be when our Savior comes to take us home. Help us indeed to seek Him. And thank you, Savior, for being there to find. And thank you for thy great love, and we love you too. Be with those that are hurting, struggling, going through disappointment and pain and sickness and sorrow. Comfort them. Bring relief to them. Bring healing to them. And help them to look up in gratitude and thankfulness for being their God and great physician, their Savior and sacrifice. Continue to fill this dark world with your glory, with the knowledge of salvation, until as the waters cover the sea, the entire earth will be ablaze with the light of truth, as it is in Jesus. And help the decisions that are made to be based upon the truth and not upon the custom and tradition of the church or the elders. And thank you for the freedom to choose which we will follow and what destiny we really want. Help us to choose wisely. Help us to choose Jesus. We thank you for being here and for hearing and answering this prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. So again, happy Sabbath, dear ones. And this is part 4 in our series, The Gods of Music. And last time we learned that the Babylonians understood the art of music. They had mastered the art of singing and the musical performance on various instruments. And so it's not how a lot of people have been taught that the first civilization only understood music from beating on rocks and stalactites and bones of various lengths. But historical documents have brought out the truth that the first civilization of the Sumerians or the Babylonians understood the art of music, singing, and the performance on various musical instruments. So this meant that their songs were intelligently sung, and the accompanying musical performance was harmonious in note and tune and was conducted with skill. We also discovered that the musical instruments which the Babylonians used included the cornet, the flute, harp, lyre, psaltery, dulcimer, bells, clappers, sistrums, cymbals, tambourines, horns, trumpets, reeds, double reeds, and at least 9 different kinds of drums, And these drums were beaten either with the hand or with drumsticks. And one of the reasons for so many different drums was because they believed that their god Ea, or Enki, was the god of music and wisdom, and that his sacred musical instrument was the drum. So by the Babylonians playing the drum, they were actually calling or summoning their god to come into their midst and bless their gatherings with his essence or his spirit. So it was the sound of the drum itself that was the personification of the essence of their god. And so the longer and the louder the Babylonian musicians would beat upon these sacred drums, then the more of the presence of their god of music would be encouraged to come into their midst to fill the entire area and affect all the listeners with his spirit. So without the sacred drums, Babylonian temples could not be filled with the essence and spirit of their god of music. These would not be blessed by his presence. Their services would be without his power. And this is one of the main reasons why the priests of the temple themselves became the drummers and the musicians and the singers within their temple services, all so that they could bring into their worship services the presence of their God. We also understood last time that it was not just one drum that would be beaten, but there would be many different drums which would be played, and these would not always be played in unison with one another, but at times would be played with conflicting rhythms or polyrhythms, and these conflicting rhythms would pulse and resonate against each other, and these pulsing and resonating rhythms would fill the city temple with deep undulating vibrations, and these would affect the listening worshipers in many different ways. But it's this conflict in beat and rhythm within music that was first developed by the Babylonians, and thus it directly points back to them as its origin, even today. Now today we're going to learn more about the music of Babylon and its performance. And for those that would like to follow along with the notes and the quotes I'll be referring to, you can find these on our website at lightministries.com/2012.html. As we've learned, the way the various musical instruments were played and performed, either with or without accompanying lyrics and singers, it was specifically designed to summon the gods into their midst. And if you look at quote number one, Babylonian music was also performed in such a way as to encourage each listener to become involved in the music itself, especially through its heavy drum beat and rhythm. And this was to the point that the listeners would be led or moved to submit themselves to the gods that would be called down into their midst, so that these gods could fill them with his essence or spirit and thereby unite with them. And to help bring about this submission or union with the gods, and since the Babylonians believed that their gods created all things through sexual union, then these musical performances were specifically designed to arouse the listeners to mimic their gods in practice. And of course, once aroused, the mind would be geared toward this particular passion and would thus be left unguarded to suggestions or teachings that had been connected with the music that otherwise might be rejected if the mind was not so distracted. And this connection of music and sexual arousal in the worship services of the Babylonians is brought out in the Bible. The Bible in Revelation 14:8 and 18:2 connects Babylon with being a harlot. And a harlot's job, of course, is to sexually arouse her unwary prospects in the hopes that they will lose self-control and be enticed into her bed. So this Babylonian connection with music and arousal in the hopes that unwary listeners would lose self-control and be enticed into worshiping and uniting with their gods is clearly depicted. But who was this god that the Babylonians were really worshiping? You look at quote number two. Inanna, who was also called Ishtar, who was also called Astarte, was known as the Queen of Heaven and was also known as the goddess of sexuality. And the Babylonians believed that Inanna went to visit Enki or Ea, which we've learned was the god of music, and he was also the god of wisdom, who knows all things. Enki then gave Inanna the art of lovemaking. He gave me the kissing of the phallus. He gave me the art of prostitution. He gave me the resounding musical instrument. He gave me the art of song. So as soon as Inanna visited Enki or Ea, this is what this god gave her knowledge of. And especially was the drum one of the precious gifts of Ishtar or Inanna that was delivered to her by Enki or Ea, as its sound was the personification of his essence in the midst of his worshipers. Now, after Inanna or Ishtar had received these sexual instructions and musical gifts, she then brought all of these to her people and commanded them to let the little children laugh and sing. Let all Uruk, which was a large city in Mesopotamia, let all Uruk be festive. Let the high priest greet the boat of heaven with song. Let him utter prayers. Let him slaughter oxen and sheep. Let him pour beer out of the cup. Let the drum and tambourine resound. Let the sweet tigi music be played. Let all the lands proclaim my noble name. Let my people sing my praises. If you notice the progression in the above story, that religious teachings on sexual worship were first obtained from the god of wisdom, and then immediately afterwards, the same god Enki gave Ishtar resounding music and the art of song, including the drum. Then, when she was ready to bring forth these gifts to the people, their spirits were first loosened up with laughter, singing, drinking, and festivity. Then, as the high priest began his work of instructing the people, the music became more intense with drum and tambourine and other instrumental musics that began to sound. And this rhythmic musical bombardment, sometimes with perfect sequential beats of the drums and other times with off or conflicting beats, continued until finally the people gave in to the music, embraced the instruction, which directly led them to honor, worship, and praise their sexual goddess, as well as Enki, the god of music and wisdom who gave her these gifts. Quite amazing, the step-by-step process there. If you look at quote number three. So this one great god, Enki or Ea, who supposedly knows all things, This one God who gave the Babylonians their particular knowledge of music, the art of song, and the particular style of playing their musical instruments enhanced by the beating of the drum to represent his essence and summon his presence, was the one God who connected with his music the various practices of free and unrestrained sexuality. But was this one all-wise God, Enki or Ea, who was just another manifestation of the supreme God Bel-Marduk? Was this one all-wise God the real ruler and thus king of Babylon? Or was there another power hidden behind the throne, behind these gods, who was really in control of this early civilization of Babylon? In Isaiah 14, verses 4 to 12, it depicts in these verses that Lucifer is the real king of Babylon. That Lucifer is the real power hidden behind the throne. And so this means that the one god Enki or Ea or Bel-Marduk actually represented Lucifer himself. And Lucifer was the one angelic heavenly being who chose to rebel and to war against God and the Lord God Michael, who was then defeated and cast out of heaven, who then caused the fall of Adam and Eve, claiming them as his rightful subjects and the earth as his rightful kingdom. And Lucifer has ever since been leading humanity to follow and join him in his rebellion against God. So Enki's great wisdom in music, song, and instrumental performance is really just a representation of Lucifer's great wisdom in these arts. And who then has taken these arts away from their original intent to honor God and has twisted them to now honor himself. So Lucifer, using the god Enki as a front to hide behind, it's Lucifer who is depicted as communicating his twisted wisdom and musical skill in singing, carrying the drum beat and the rhythm in musical performance to this goddess Ishtar. Ishtar then communicates this particular musical style of song and performance to all the Babylonians through instructions learned while her worshipers are possessed by her. And so this further means that this goddess Ishtar is just another front allowing Lucifer to remain hidden behind the scenes, and that it is actually Lucifer who is the spirit and power possessing all the Babylonian worshipers and then delivering his instructions to them. And more than any other musical instrument, the sound of the drum thumping its particular and unmistakable rhythmic and repetitious style was used to summon the god Ea or Bel-Marduk, or actually Lucifer, into the midst of the worshipers so that he could fill all these listeners with his spirit. It is in this very fact that this particular style of music, song, and drums being performed in such a way as to specifically target the listeners to lose self-restraint, become sexually aroused, and even giving up control of their bodies and minds to become possessed by the spirit of the gods, that clearly connects this particular musical style to be that of Babylon. And it further points to the fact that Lucifer is the one real source and driving power in that music and spirit possession. you look at quote number 4. As the steady rhythm and drumbeat of this Babylonian music was specifically designed to move the soul of each listener, then it was only natural for them to begin tapping their hands, moving their feet, nodding their heads in time with the rhythm. And to help encourage such bodily movements and to further encourage the listeners to give in to this sexually moving Babylonian religious music, the Babylons used dancing. References to dancing that have been found in the ancient tablets or shown in reliefs were usually in reference to the cult practices connected with the temples of worship. Dancing was performed by both men and women. It was done in time to music, singing, and clapping. The number of dancers at any one time ranged from performing solo or in pairs or in groups. And when in groups, they would usually be arranged in a row or a circle. Different types of dances were performed, which included aerobatic dancers who would perform all kinds of different aerobatic steps and forms to the delight and awe of watchers. There were also whirling dances that were performed where the dancers would spin around and around. And in fact, the god Ea commanded to let a whirling dance take place in celebration dealing with the goddess Ishtar. So whirling dances were done in her honor, particularly during Ishtar's annual feast. And the whirling was usually done by men that were arranged in a row or a circle, but it could also be done by women. And this whirling dance became a form or attribute of Ishtar and was therefore associated with her worship and performed in her temples. And since this whirling dance was a form or attribute of Ishtar herself, then performing this dance was just one way in which the performers and even worshipers could move into Ishtar's presence and become filled with her spirit and then completely possessed by her. And also that she could communicate her religious instruction and wisdom of the gods to each possessed individual. So dancing was a very effective way of keeping the minds of the people distracted while they focused upon the dancers that were performing in unison with the beat of the music. This distraction then allowed the steady drum beat emphasizing the rhythm of the music to more quickly do its work in affecting the hearts and souls of the listeners. And under this combined visual and audio assault, many of the worshipers were led to lose self-control, to join in with the dancers, and then allow the god of music to fill them with his presence. And this is why in most all of the pagan worship rituals and festivities of Babylon, music, song, and dance were highly indulged in by all the populace, all so that they could lose self-control and allow the god of music to fill them with his presence. Look at quote number 5. Now, while these musical services were being conducted, they were not quiet occasions, but the temple musicians would play their instruments loud enough as to drown out the sound of the south wind storm. So they were very loudly played. And these loud musical performances were also accompanied by the tigi drums and the ala drums, which roared for him or the temple god like a storm. And it was the loudness of these performances that also helped to drive the music into the bodies of the listeners and more quickly lead to their possession of the gods. Now, it's hoped that you can see that the connection of the Babylonian religious beliefs and practices with song, music, and dance was inseparably combined together. But it was especially through the songs, music, drums, and dance that these Babylonian teachings were more easily and effectively reinforced in the minds of all the listeners. And as music was the medium that was being used to try and achieve this manipulation and control of the worshipers, then any who came within hearing of this Babylonian music could also become affected by it, whether they realized it or not. So you didn't have to go to the temple in order to be affected by the music and led to become possessed by the gods. All you had to be was within hearing range of the music. You look at quote number 6. The mystery religion and the controlling musical practices of Babylon were not just kept isolated within Mesopotamia. When all the languages of the people were changed at the Ziggurat Tower of Babylon, and the various language people then grouped together and dispersed according to their languages, they then carried these same Babylonian styles of musical arrangement, verse structure, drum-enhanced rhythmic performances, etc. They carried these with them wherever they went into all parts of the world. So the music originated in Babylon and connected with its religious ceremonies and rituals and worship services were now spread out of Mesopotamia to the entire world and became a foundational part of every civilization. And supporting evidence proving this historical fact can be seen by the many different variations imitating Babylon's ziggurat temples. And they were constructed in many different countries around the world. One of the quotes bringing this out states, "The Tower of Babylon was a symbol of worship and protection and became well known by many as the Ziggurat of Entemmenaki in honor of the Babylonian supreme god Marduk. A dominant central point of worship that spread out to many other nations that were to come." In fact, 34 of these stage ziggurat towers have now been located in 27 ancient cities of the Middle East. The greatest of them all was the one at Babylon. So these ziggurat temple pyramids were not just in the various countries of the Middle East, which included Iraq, Iran, etc. But some of these Babylonian temple pyramids and religious mounds have also been found scattered throughout the world. And if you look at the last part, various countries in different continents have these ziggurat towers or pyramids. In the continent of Africa, you can find them in Egypt, of course, also Sudan and Nigeria. In the continent of Asia, you can find them in China, India, Indonesia, Japan, Philippines, Tibet, and Russia. You can find Babylonian ziggurat towers or religious mounds in the continent of Europe, including Bosnia, Croatia, France, Greece, Italy, Serbia, Slovenia, and Spain. In South America, you can find them in Brazil, Peru, Central and Mesoamerica, including Guatemala, Mexico, and the Yucatan. In North America, you can find Babylonian ziggurat pyramid towers or religious mounds in the states of Alabama, Arkansas, Florida, Georgia, Illinois, Indiana, Kentucky, Louisiana, Mississippi, Missouri, North Carolina, Oklahoma, South Dakota, Tennessee, Texas, Wisconsin, and others. And you can see all the references there that you can see these pyramid ziggurats for yourself. So it was not just in the land of Babylon itself that the worship of Lucifer was being practiced and kept alive, but throughout all other civilizations, kingdoms, and nations of the world. So this reveals that when the different language groups departed from Babylon and they settled and established their own civilization in various parts of the world, that they did not leave behind the mystery religion of Babylon, but they carried these same paganistic beliefs and musical performances with them as their own. And as time passed, each of these ancient civilizations would tailor these Babylonian beliefs to suit their own culture and people. Many gave the original Babylonian gods and goddesses different names, or added in new deities to worship as time went on, or honored some deities more than others. They wrote new songs. They continued to develop and fine-tune musical practice, all depending on their own particular civilization's needs. But the original Babylonian beliefs of Luciferic worship could still be seen as the core foundation of their faith and musical practice, even though their civilization was now established on the opposite side of the earth from where they originally came from. So that was the musical performance of Babylon. And next time we'll investigate into what kind of music, what kind of song and performance style is pleasing to the God of heaven. So we hope to see you next time, dear ones. But it's amazing to see how the religious practices and the musical styles of ancient Babylon is still with us today, still being heard, still affecting its listeners, even though they're not going to a temple of Babylon to worship. Quite amazing. So we hope to see you next time as we now will shift from Babylon to seeing what kind of music, song, and performance is pleasing to the God of heaven. Amen. The same devil still exists today, and he's still hiding behind many different fronts. But he's still getting people involved in following his rebellion against the God of heaven. Our closing song is titled, Oh, for a Thousand Tongues to Sing. obviously not to the devil's glory, but to the glory of God. Oh, for 1,000 tongues to sing my great Redeemer's praise, the glories of my God and King, the triumphs of His grace. My gracious Master and my God, assist me to proclaim, to spread through all the earth abroad the honors of thy name. Jesus, the name that charms our fears, that bids our sorrows cease. 'Tis music in the sinner's ears, 'tis life and health and peace. He breaks the power, cancels sin, He sets the prisoner free. His blood can make the foulest clean, His blood avails for me. He speaks, and listening to His voice, new life the dead receive. The mournful broken hearts rejoice, the humbled poor believe. Hear Him, ye deaf, His praise, ye dumb, your loosened tongues employ. Ye blind, behold your Savior come, and leap, ye lame, for joy. And what a privilege and a honor it is to sing praises to our God and to the Lord God Jesus Christ, who sets us free from sin, from error, and from Babylon, that we may become a part of Him, His kingdom, and righteousness. Praise His holy name for setting us free. Shall we pray? Precious Father, we thank You so very much for not leaving us in darkness, but for sending Jesus down that we might be freed from Satan, from sin, from error, and from bondage, and to live a new life, a life of faith and peace and joy. Thank You, Savior, for making it all possible. Thank You for also allowing us to understand the devil's plots and ploys, to see how the devil has taken something that was created for a beautiful purpose and twisting it and turning it into an evil purpose. Help us to recognize the difference between what pleases You versus what pleases Him. And if we find ourselves connected in anything that pleases the devil, please, Spirit, give us the grace and the strength and the courage to cast it away, that we might connect ourselves with things that will bring honor, praise, and glory and joy to our God and our Savior. We do not want to be children of darkness. We want to be children of light. Help us to let our light shine in glorifying your name and not giving any glory whatsoever to the devil, especially in the area of music. We don't want his presence in our midst. We do not want to be affected by his evil spirit. We want your divine presence in our midst. We want to be filled with your Holy Spirit. And thank you for helping us to understand the difference and the freedom to choose. Thank you that we're a day closer to heaven and getting off of this wicked world. Help us to get ourselves prepared and to be ready, waiting, watching, working, and praying until Jesus comes to take us home. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So that was the Babylonian style of music and its performance and what it was designed to do. And next time we'll learn about God's particular style of music, song, and performance in what pleases him. And praise God that he's given us clear instructions. It's not something that we have to develop our own particular style. It's all written down. Praise his name for doing so. Are there any thoughts or comments, questions, anything else that you'd like to share, dear ones? Any songs or requests? Please feel free to do so.
Elder Rob, I think this was particularly like coming into the faith. I love dancing and I love music. A part of my culture, we're heavy on dancing and music. And coming into the faith, that was something that I realized that I had to give up. But then a part of me always wondered, why do I have to give up this thing that I love so much that, you know, it makes me happy? A part of growing up, when everything else seemed so bad around me, I could always go to music, and it wasn't necessarily like music that was at that time that I considered to be bad, I should say, now that I've learned the difference. You know, I think a lot of people will struggle with this particular thing because they don't see necessarily the sin in dancing or enjoying them, expressing themselves in that type of way. So how would you explain, I mean, the topic kind of explains it, but how would you counsel someone who is still having that type of struggle, like, you know, is dancing a sin type thing?
Oh, thank you, dear sister. And, you know, there is a type of dancing that pleases God. And since we know that there's a devil, then there's another kind of dancing that pleases the devil. And so in seeking to understand the difference between the two, can be a revelation to some because they believe that any type of dancing is fine. But when you become a Christian, your focus is on what will please God, not what will please yourself or what will please the world, but what will please God. And as we continue in the series, there's differences that are clearly noted. For instance, in the worship services of the Babylonians, dancing was part of the worship service. In God's service, dancing had no part in the worship service. There was dancing outside of the worship service because people were happy and overjoyed on a good harvest or the birth of a son or a daughter. There was dancing that took place that was innocent. And when you look at some of the dances of the Israelites, as we will be getting into, in the social area, the dances were very minor body movements compared to a lot of the more modern understanding of dancing. That's true. David danced before the Lord, but it was not part of a worship service. It was connected with him bringing the ark from one portion of Israel into the tent sanctuary that was set up there in Jerusalem. And in that process, he was dancing to the Lord. That's true. It was a dance of joy. It was a movement of the body that was depicted as dancing when it was not like the gyrations and the acrobatic dances of the Babylonians in their worship of the gods. So there was times of dancing, but we're dealing in the religious aspect here. And there was never any dancing that took place in God's worship service. There was dancing that took place in the Babylonian worship service. And that type of dancing was acrobatic. It involved a lot of body movements because the more movement of the body diverted the reasoning power of the mind away from what was right and wrong, and thus led the worshipers into losing self-control, self-restraint, and indulging in the lower passions. And that's why the Bible depicts Babylon as being a harlot. Losing self-control, self-restraint, moral purity, and indulging in those baser passions. All part of the worship service of the Babylonian gods. So there is a particular style of dancing that is okay with God, but it is not in any way connected with the body movements of other dances. And the music that is danced to is entirely different. There is no steady backbeat or conflicting rhythms in music that God approves and which can be danced to out of joy or appreciation or whatever it might be. So getting an individual interested in studying the differences is one way to awaken them to a desire to want to follow God's will and to please him in all things. Did that help, dear sister, with your question?
Sorry, I was coming off. Yes, Elder Rob, it helped. I think by the grace of God that I had, I was thinking back to when I first started and it was a struggle for me. I think by the grace of God, I don't even know how to dance anymore. And it's so weird because when I think about it, this was something that I loved. I was even considering going to dance, school. I did ballet, I did all the other stuff. But now thinking about the lessons that I've learned and the movements of the drums and how that did kind of like put you in a trance as you're dancing through these things, I could connect all of it. But it also made me realize the conviction also of loving God so much that what you said at the beginning, it's not what pleases me anymore, is what pleases God. And in some aspects, the issue of dance boils down to serving to God. You know, you can't serve two masters, as I would say, and choosing to be a Christian, you know, you give up those type of things. But I do know that was a struggle that I faced, and I'm sure that there are struggles also that others face in this very, very topic as well. So thank you for that.
No, amen, dear sister. And our prayers go out to those that are struggling with this issue, and praise God that he helped you to work through that struggle as well. You know, some of the dances that have taken place in the past that were not Babylonian in origin are like individuals take each other's hand, and they're in a line, so there's like 5 or 10 or more individuals. And they move 3 steps forward and they take 1 or 2 steps back. And then they go 3 steps forward and 1 and 2 steps back. So to us, that's really not dancing. That's more, you know, that's something else. You know, that's moving in time. But we really don't call that dancing because we become so accustomed to the rock and roll type of dance or the square dancing or other type of dancing that when you see the very simple dancing that like the ancient Israelites were connected with, we wouldn't term that dancing. It is a body movement and it is repetitious in nature, 3 steps forward and 1 and 2 steps back. But we wouldn't call that dancing at all because we've been so accustomed to viewing dancing as a much more vigorous exercise program or set routine. And it escapes a lot of people's recognition as there being anything wrong. Whereas it's very much wrong as it's connected with Babylon. Question that says, today it's called the celebration movement. Yeah, in the apostate church is true. While they are in the spirit of celebration, they do not want to study the Bible. That's true. How about the hokey pokey just for fun and exercise? I've seen exercise programs where they put on jazz or they put on rock and roll or dancing to the oldies. As a form of exercise, but that's getting you accustomed to the dancing steps, even though they connect it with exercise, and thus it's a way to get you involved in that type of dancing that would be more connected with the devil's form of dancing under the guise of it's just exercise. So I would not connect myself with that type of exercise program. Another comment, it says, I think that the dance of waltzing is pretty to watch. It can be pleasing to the eye to watch it, but it's not a form of dance that is pleasing to God. And Sister White has some to say regarding waltzing and those type of dances.
Can I define hokey pokey? It comes from way back in history, and people stand in a circle, and there's a special song that goes with it, and it's you put your left hand out, you put your left hand back, you put your left hand in, and turn it all about. And then you do that with various parts of your body. Put your right hand in, you pull your right hand out. Stick your right hand in and turn it all about. And you, then you do it with your feet, and then your whole body, you jump in and you jump out, and then you turn it all about, and the song's over. Nobody touches anybody. It's just kind of a mediocre little song, like a children's song that you do that with.
Well, thank you for defining that, and I would have to leave that between you and God to see if he condemns your heart about doing that or if he gives you peace. The comment says you can do that with the song Father Abraham. Yeah, yeah, true. Question. What about if you're in an area and music is playing and you find yourself bopping or even in your mind singing along? Is this a matter to ask forgiveness for? I would say if you recognize that the music is not of God and you find yourself moving to it or singing in your mind along with it, and then you continue doing it, you've now chosen to give in to that style of music and beat, and that would be something to ask forgiveness for. But if you find yourself unconsciously going along with it, and then you wake up, what am I doing? And then you stop it. You start thinking of something different than the music, or singing a different song in praise to God in your mind. And you don't continue to follow the beat with your hand or head or whatever it is. Then you've caught yourself. You've been tempted to do it and you've caught yourself and said no. So then you can thank God for waking you up and pray to him to wake you up sooner, you know, before you find yourself going along with it. And, you know, that's something that you did not make the choice to continue in, so you don't have to ask forgiveness. But I always pray to God, you know, forgive me for going along with it as long as I did. Please wake me up sooner, you know. let me recognize it sooner so that I don't unconsciously give in to it. Yeah, the comment says it's sometimes so hard to be honest. True, but that's where it's in the little things where we recognize we've done wrong and we repent for it. In the little things, that goes a tremendously long way in allowing us to be faithful in the big things. Another comment, it says, if I'm shopping and I hear music that I used to listen to when I was a kid, then I just concentrate on my shopping. Amen. Especially dart a prayer to God to help you ignore that wrong type of music. And it's amazing how fast God will change your current of thoughts or give you something else to take your time so that you will not continue to focus on what is bad. That's true. Another comment that says, what will not be practiced in heaven, then don't practice it here on earth. That's a good rule to follow. Any other thoughts? Any other comments, dear ones?
I was thinking of a children's song. Knocking, knocking, wonder who is there, listening, listening with such tender care. Open, open, wide, and you will see. It's Jesus knocking tenderly.
Beautiful. Yeah, thank you, dear sister. Another hymn is titled, Be Thou My Vision. Be Thou my vision, O Lord of my heart. Not be all else to me, save that Thou art. Thou my best thought, by day or by night. Waking or sleeping, thy presence my light.
Be thou my wisdom, and thou my true word. I ever with thee, and thou with me, Lord. Thou my great Father, and I thy true Son. Thou in me dwelling, and I with thee one.
Riches I heed not, nor man's empty praise. Thou mine inheritance now and always. Thou and thou only first in my heart. O King of glory, my treasure thou art.
O King of glory, my victory won, rule and reign in me till thy will be done. Lord, fall, you'll be my vision, O ruler of all.
Amen. And when we find our thoughts drifting or beginning to dwell on things we know will not please God, let us look up so that Jesus will become our vision and we can become changed into his glorious image. Dear ones, are there any other thoughts or comments or questions, any concerns? Please feel free, dear ones.
I just want to thank everyone for being here and celebrating Sabbath with us. It's been a wonderful day and learning new and wonderful things and how more fully to worship God. Amen. And especially thank God for being here with us.
It's a pleasure to have you with us as well in fellowship. And what a joy it is to dwell together as a family in Jesus Christ. Well, I'd like to leave you with this one song. And may this be the goal of each one of our hearts. Have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Thou art the potter, I am the clay. Mold me and make me after thy will. While I am waiting, yielded and still.
Have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Search me and try me, Master, today. Whiter than snow, Lord, wash me just now, as in thy presence, humbly I bow. Have thy own way, Lord, have thy own way. Wandering weary, help me, I pray. Our royal power surely is done. Touch me and heal me, Savior divine.
Have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Hold o'er my being absolute sway. Fill with thy spirit till all shall see. Christ only, always. Living in me. May that happen to each one of us, dear ones. Well, have a wonderful remaining Sabbath, and we're looking forward to fellowshipping with you again very soon. Until then, dear ones, go with God and keep looking up.
Keep looking up, thy God is still the same today. Keep looking up, he will not fail thee, come what may. Keep looking up, the darkest cloud will roll away. So do not doubt, but keep on looking up.
Okay. Well, as you all know, some of you know that we started with my mother a little project, with certain relatives that, have children and they are like really little. So it was an impression that my mother had like, 2 weeks ago. And it was like an impression from the Holy Spirit that you need to do a word for those children because she had a niece from my father's family, but it's like a niece for her. So she has like two children, and one of them started to talk and all those things because they are really little. And we started like thinking about we need to do some work for them to start with the stories of the Holy Bible and all those things. So we started with this kind of project, and we asked this week to Brother Bob to use this chat room for the presentations because we have like some issues with the presentations because of the time. It's limited in the free chat. So today we had the second part of the presentation, and it was really amazing because all the families started to participate and all those things. So we wanted to thank you, dear elder, and all the brethren here for your prayers and for everything, because it was a good service today, really interesting, and for us also it was useful to use the chat room. Thank you so much.
Well, praise the Lord, dear sister, Sister Anna and Sister Anita. And we will indeed be keeping the project in prayer, and praise the Lord that the families are becoming involved and not just the little children. That is wonderful. And we'll be praying that God continues to give you both the wisdom and the words as well as the materials to reach the young individuals' minds and lead them to the Savior, but also to the parents and the older ones as well. So keep up the good work and keep us informed on how things are going.
And thank you so much. Yes, with my mother, we have started to think about the material we try to use or we are using because yes, it is a service for the children. You need to engage them, but also the parents are the teachers. So when we are not presenting, they need to do that part in their homes. So we try to present like a part, a serious part, let's say, but another part like to interact with the children and to let them participate in the service. But most of the parts of the service are for the parents because they are the real teachers at home. And all of them are not family because there are some of them that we know when they were children, especially my parents because I was not born, but my parents know them when they were children. Now they are parents, so we tried to invite them, and they accepted. So that is another part of the people that attend to this service that are not relatives at all, but they are parents that are worried about these difficult times that we are passing in those days. So the only way that we have to reach those parents is by their children. Because if you engage the children, maybe the parents, okay, they enjoy the time there. They enjoy listening the stories and all those things. So that's a way also to reach the parents. But that is a work that only the Holy Spirit can do for us. And my mother is telling me, we use the Holy Bible and the Spirit of Prophecy because they make like a great complement together. One thing that you find in the Bible is also like there are a great expansion in the Spirit of Prophecy, so that's another way to complement each other. The first part and the presentations, what's the creation? We are divided in three parts. The first part was the last week and the last Sabbath. And today we have the second part. And in the first part, we have like the creation, but in a general view, like what happened in the first day, what in the second, what was the things that God created. And this second part that we take, that we took this morning, we started to talk about the diet and what was the food that God let us eat. So we started with that part. And next Sabbath we have the Sabbath like a church, no, like a study.
El sábado.
So,
como séptimo día de la creación.
Yeah. The Sabbath in the, like the day that, that God created for worshiping. So we have that part for the next Sabbath because we are dividing that. It is too much information, too much things to just talk about those things. It's too much. No, we need to take our general view, but also, in the specific points about specific things that God had led us know about that. So, the idea is to present the holy, the sacred history without the lies that we have observed in some movies or books around the world. And thank you very much.
You're welcome, dear sisters, and thank you so much for putting the program on for the little ones and also for their parents. And a question in the room is what time are you presenting it here in the Zoom church room?
9:30 in the morning, a.m. But it is the schedule in Colombia. I don't know what was the schedule in the United States. But it's,
right now it is the same.
Okay.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But in Sacramento, I don't know if it's changed.
2 hours later.
I'm going to
look. It'd be 7:30. It would be 7:30 in the morning in Sacramento.
Okay, well, here it's 12:45 in the afternoon. What time is it there in Colombia right now? Zoom.
It is 2:45.
Zoom, so 2 hours difference. So you're presenting it at 7:45 here, Pacific time. So that would be 10:45 Eastern time.
No. 9:30 and 7:30.
Yeah, so, central time is 9:30. Yeah, okay.
10:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. And then the other question was, is it only in Spanish?
For the moment, it's just in Spanish because all the families are from Colombia. And one of them are in United States, but they speak Spanish. So, and another are in Spain, but they speak just Spanish, so that's it. It's every Sabbath, every Sabbath.
Amen. Español es muy bueno.
Hey.
I just wanted to say Sabbath blessing to everyone before I leave. And Elder Rob, we also hoping that this will be the training of Ana Maria because by God's grace, I'm hoping that she will join me in the children's study and put her first, but we're going to boot up Brother Dick. I'm sorry, Brother Dick. We're going to try to make Anita do the little children's story. So we're just hoping that she will get comfortable and by God's grace, let's see what the Lord does for her to take over because we just gonna try. But I just know that the Lord is preparing her. And if I can't be able to say, don't be too surprised that when you begin, the Holy Spirit just take over and the fear will be able to leave. Because I remember when I started, it was really, really bad. I cried so many times, and I was wondering, why would you make someone that don't even speak the two languages well to do the children's story? Well, you will see that the Lord does miracles. And Sister Michelle, if you only see how many glasses I have, you will laugh. I have one for the screen, one to be able to do the other thing, to use my phone. So it's like I'm running out of glasses because I really have to go to the eyeglass, you know, to be able to let them check my eyes. But with all this thing that is happening, I'm right now dealing with my teeth. And now to go to my eyes, and then I go through my body. Old age came in, and everything started to fall apart. So I just want to test you. Yeah, everything started to fall apart. I got to 50, and I don't know what happened. Everything just started to just kind of shake a little bit. But what a wonderful thing. Is it possible? Can we get the project and maybe, you know, let's see how we're going to incorporate a little bit that you can be able to do it in the English section to be able to practice your English by God's grace?
Yes, of course.
Estoy orando, hermana, orando.
That's okay, Rose. I have this pair of glasses. I have a pair of glasses for when I cook. I have another pair of glasses for when I have to do another project, so that these glasses, because these are my main glasses, so that they don't get broke or anything. So
I fell asleep with my prescription, and from that time I haven't had a prescription. So I try to use different ones, but I think the others is going to make it worse, because sometimes when you're not using the proper prescription, it can also hurt your eyes. So I'm just hoping that I'm going to get there eventually when all of this thing, I don't know when, because I don't even want to go into those places. But let's see what the Lord does by God's grace. Well, Saba blessing. Dad, I love you. And I'm going to be leaving now.
I love you too, baby.
Okay. Okay. Saba blessing to Sister Elaine also. I always want to be able to step because I don't see her. So just please just give her my greeting. Oh! So they left you.
Yeah. I'll show you where she should be.
Okay, I'm going to go now. Saba blessings, everyone. Bye. Feliz sábado, hermano Garay. Lo veo en la esquinita ahí. Que el Señor lo bendiga mucho. Y a hermanos Santiago también.
Santiago.
Aquí disfrutando la alegría del sábado, hermanos, con todos ustedes.
Amén, amén. Esta es una bendición. Ya siempre queremos tener todo junto y mira, el Señor ahora nos tiene todos juntos. Por eso que yo sé que el Señor viene, porque este es un milagro.
Me encantó el tema del culto porque realmente todo eso es que está invadido este planeta y aún los que estamos en esta fe hemos sido tallados por esas tradiciones.
Sí, es cierto. Dime, nosotros que somos de los países latinoamericanos, no te puedo ni decir la mitad de la idea, porque fue bien, bien dificultoso especialmente para mí. I would speak in English too. Being that we have Mexican, Jamaican, Panamanian, all these different cultures, they always thought I was kind of crazy because I wouldn't go to none of the parties or festivities or anything like that, because it was very hard. I can't tell the people not to play no music. So they would tell me, Rose, why you're not coming? I said, because if Jesus can't go, I can't go either.
That's good.
And then they say they don't want no preachers. I say, I'm not preaching, but I'm not going to stay there. Either the devil convert me or I have to convert some of his people. So the best thing to do is don't go. So I don't go to a lot of things and people think I'm a radical, but it's okay. I'm good with Jesus. He wakes me up in the morning. He does everything for me. And I just see people only sometimes. So they get eventually little by little to know what it is that I'm speaking about. Because when they're having problem with their children, that's when they call me so I could explain to them why we can't do certain things. And at the same time, they get to hear what they didn't want to hear before. So, es bien duro porque tenemos salsa, merengue, reggae. Imagínate yo sacando a mi hijo para que no tuviera contacto con su padre, porque un padre, el amor que un niño le va a tener, lo va a guiar donde, you know, con la tradición y cosas así. So, para caminar yo me fui, ya tenía 5 meses, ya estaba en mi vientre, y yo me fui porque yo no quería que tuviera la influencia. Bueno, se hizo tanto sacrificio, pero I don't regret it, you know. So, Sabbath blessing everyone. I'm going to go now. Okay?
Thank you, Mother Sessler, for your protection in this morning. Your service in this morning are very interesting.
Qué bueno el inglés.
Thank you.
Al indígena, pero ahí lo dijo. We were checking here at home that in our culture there is too common to have so many dances, music, and all the time they are present. I mean, you are going in the street and one person had one music there and another person has another, and it is like hearing pollution all the time. And so many rhythms that you cannot understand what the people are here listening to it. But here is our culture, but there is something that God should change in our minds, in our hearts. So that's another thing that is, I believe, is part of us. We need to choose what we need to listen to and what we don't. So it could be culture, it could be difficult, but it's not impossible with God.
But you know, little by little, when you start, because I think that I'm a babe. And I say I'm a babe because it's like I have to get away from a lot of things. One of my first jobs that I had here, it was in a record store. Mi primer trabajo era en un lugar donde se compraba discos. Y había que memorizar las artistas, el tipo de música, cómo combinarlo para que lo usaran en la fiesta. So, usted se imagina cuánto uno tenía que sacarse de memoria. So, yo no tengo que estar en un lugar indicado para no oír la música. A veces está en la cabeza. So, la única manera que se podía hacer es cuando estás estudiando para poder ayudar a los niños, yo comencé a oír muchas en música de escritura. Y cuando tú lo oyes todo el tiempo, a veces, you know, se te graba. So, eso también me ha ayudado, ¿ve? I had to memorize songs, themes, and also a rhythm to help the people that buy the record how to play and bring the different language together with the same beat. Gina used to work in the store myself, but I used to work more towards the wholesale, doing the bookkeeping. So it was a little bit lighter than my sister, but still you had to play the music in order to sell it. So it was very hard, you know. So praise God that, you know, the Lord kind of helped a little bit.
Were you a Christian then?
No, I was not a Christian. I was not a Christian. I became a Christian very late in my years. You know, we could say we were Catholic. That's not a Christian. You know, and when you became a Catholic, it wasn't by choice. You was being baptized as a child. So it's not so much as in you knew what religion was. You was a Catholic from the time you came out, you get baptized, and then you are Catholic for the rest of your life. You don't even know the doctrine. I became knowledgeable of the doctrine when I was working in Wall Street. And when I first got the Great Controversy and I read it, that's what made me realize what Rome was. If it wasn't for that book, I would have never known. Because doctrine is not something that you know. We just go to the church and do whatever the priest said or the nun said. So you're not really receiving anything for you to be able to know what everything is. You can't ask questions either. It's considered blasphemy when you ask a priest anything, you know. But praise God that the Lord take us out. Okay? So I'm going to go now. What does that mean?
I went to a Catholic mass with some cousins one time. And the priest was up there, he had his back to us, and there were a couple altar boys, and they'd go back and forth, and when they rang the bell, everybody was supposed to do this.
Really?
Yeah.
No, well, in the cathedral, it's a small church in the town where we was in, and the only thing that I like about it, it wasn't as dark, because every other cathedral or Catholic churches, they was horribly dark. And you know, it was kind of scary, but this one had so many lights because it had like about 12 windows in each side. So there was so much light that was coming in. Didn't have that much idols, but it only had the cross at the end. And then on the side, it has like the station of the cross. So I didn't get to see like big idols or anything till I came to America. And when I came to America, my mother took me to St. Matthew's, one of the biggest cathedrals. That's when I really saw statues because I wasn't used to that. And I was really, really terrified because I never really liked statues. Not even the Statue of Liberty. I used to cry anytime when they have like, you know, the excursion in junior high school. I literally made myself sick so I don't go because they say you have to walk up to the crown, but I really didn't like her. So, because she was a statue, I was very afraid of those things anyway.
So anyway. Pagan symbol.
Huh?
Pagan symbol.
Oh yeah. Later I found out about that when I was reading Brother Bob's book, The God of One World. That's when I found out about her. But before, you have to remember, as immigrants, the Statue of Liberty was considered something basically sacred. But, you know, with knowledge, everything comes off, you know. So I'm going to go. Daddy, te quiero. Me voy, okay?
Te quiero también, mi amor, de todo lo que has dicho, todo lo que has hablado, sabiendo que atrás de todo esto, que el Señor ha llegado a nuestras vidas.
Sí, ¿verdad?
Y hemos cambiado.
¿Se acuerda
Nos abrió los ojos. Y naturalmente la lectura es una gran ayuda.
Sí, es cierto.
Si no fuera con la lectura, muchas cosas no sabríamos.
Es cierto. La educación es lo único que en realidad te quita de la esclavitud.
Exactamente.
Ok, ya me voy. Adiós, hermana. Bye-bye. Bye, sister Michelle. Bye, Brother Bob. I thought you left.
Bye, everyone. Love you all.
Okay, bye-bye.
God bless. Oh, and Sister Rose, regarding having to put on so many different glasses, I look at the positive in everything. Mm-hmm. You're actually getting exercise by doing that. And
I get my exercise. I get my exercise by jumping to conclusions.
That's a good one. That is a record. Yeah. Like, okay, Elder Rob, I'll get you next.
It's actually makes heaven look all that much more better.
That's so true.
Because all of these ailments, you know, as we get older, we get other ailments, aches and pains. All of that just makes heaven look so much better.
That is not my eyes. I need my eyes. You could take anything else, but leave my eyes.
Yeah. I saw a cartoon clip. I clipped it out for Brother Bob.
Mm-hmm.
It has the cartoon character. He's got like a book like this and he's reading it. Then the next clip is he's out here reading it. And then the next clip is he's like this reading it. And then the next is like it's way, way out that he's reading it.
That's exactly how it looks.
Yeah, I thought I gotta clip that out for him. So that's in his office.
I call my son so often, Joshua, Joshua, and he knows what it is. Can you read this? Sometimes even when I'm typing, I say, can you make sure that thing is spelled correctly before Oh, well, everything is going to be better, by God's grace. Okay, I'm going to go now.
Amen. Amen. And, yeah, I still got about another 6 inches on my reach before it gets beyond what I can read. And then I can put the book on my feet, and then I have another couple feet that I can stretch it out and be. But yeah, I think I'm going to have to get glasses here.
Yeah.
But I'm putting it off as long as I can.
I have what they call astigmatism. Everything is fuzzy for me, close or far away, so I have to have glasses to be able to see for close or far away.
Yeah, that's me too.
I can't tell when a person is in front. Let's say if I'm looking at something in the computer, I can't see the face as well. I have to put on the glasses. Then I have to look for the proper screen. Because if I use one glasses, I can do the reading, but I can't see the faces. So I have to change glasses to see what they really look like.
Oh, my. You need bifocals.
Okay, I'm going to go now.